Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
On the week of opening day, welcome to another edition of Rico Bronya. If you haven't subscribed, you can subscribe. Download and you can rate the podcast whenever you'd like. We are getting you set for opening day for the New York Mets, which will either be Thursday or Friday. And then obviously we're in our full motion of the season, podcast after every series, podcast after every horrible loss, maybe even a podcast after those great dramatic victories. Today we do a little Mets Yankees, a little Mets Yankees bets edition. So if you have friends who are Yankee fans or the Yankee fan is listening right now, these are ideas you can use. Just be responsible about it. Now, before we get into the bets, Jordan Montgomery is officially off the board. He signed a weird 1 year plus a vesting option with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I'll give you the Met perspective. Our Yankee guest today is Big Mac, Chris McMonagle. You could check him out in overnights. One place you could not check him out is in My Mets Bible, because I never acknowledged his existence in the book. Much like Pete Austin. So you guys have that in common, Big Mac?
No, but if you're looking for Sean Marash, there he is. So it's thanks. I mean, you know, I only defended you every single stupid time this came up, and you're getting killed by Craig for years. I walked into your office, I don't know, twice a week for 6 months while you were working on this stuff. I didn't expect to thank you. I honestly didn't. But when you were handing them out like candy, I was a little disappointed that I wasn't one of them. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know which one's worse. I'll let Pete decide and you decide.
Yeah, I get it.
I forgot about Pete Hoffman. Like, I just, like, the Rico slipped my mind, which I guess is offensive to the audience as well. With you, I gave it careful thought and said, you know what? I'm going to leave Big Mac out. So, which one is worse? The predetermined leave out or the I completely forgot you leave out?
I don't think there's an argument. I don't think there's one. Now, look, you could argue whether Pete should be more thanked than me because of his Met connection with you. I think that's a discussion. Who should have got a thank you, Big Mac or Pete? Fair discussion. We could have it. What's worse, to just be like, oh, all forgotten about or specifically not thanked? Oh, I think I got the raw deal here. You thought about me and said, nah, that's much worse.
C-Mac, I'm sorry, but like the people listening right now are getting completely disrespected. The Rico Bronya is they're all buying this book, or we're going to up until they got shafted.
Now, can I defend myself on the Rico
audience,
on the Rico shaft? And Big Mac will tell you this. I started writing this book multiple years ago. And so I think during that process, I just forgot about it. Like the Rico was forming. It was new. It wasn't in my brain as fully ingrained as everything else was. So that's my excuse. But I do apologize. If they ever come out with a second edition of My Mets Bible, I will definitely mention the Rico. I'll thank Pete Hoffman, and I'll take a shot at Big Mac. That's clearly what I will do if it comes out. I'm going to give you my opinion on Jordan Montgomery signing this deal. But since you are our guest and we are inviting the Yankee fan into our living room, the Yankees could have used Jordan Montgomery as well. They also have a history with Jordan Montgomery.
your reaction as a Yankee fan that Montgomery is not a Yankee and instead a Diamondback for the contract that he signed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's overall disappointing because I think they could use him. But I just knew, you know, especially one-year deals, like Joel Sherman talked about it. I think the Yankees were in the market for Montgomery on a long-term lower number than $25 million. I think it's clear there was a parameter of a deal that could have been met. They talked with him earlier. Then they talked with him later as his market really started to fall down. I think for $50 million, which is what the overall number would be, it's hard. And you say this a lot, Evan, and I agree with you. When it's just money, we have a hard time saying, why not just money? And especially Snell came with picks. Snell came with other ramifications. This is strictly $50 million to make sure your rotation is in a far better place and more stabilized place. While I don't know if he's an ace, you can't argue. He is a probably, you know, someone's going to give you 180, 90 innings, stabilize that rotation. You feel much better about it. You'd be able to overcome another season like Rodon gave you last year. If Rodon is completely washed, like it's just there's a lot of benefits to having someone as stable as Montgomery. So, I mean, for a year that whether the Yankees actually use the term all in or just it's important to win now or whatever, a year that seems to be a year they have to win for $50 million not to pick up a pitcher with no picks attached, no nothing. It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I think the Mets and the Yankees have something in common here on this. They made a financial decision. This is all about money. That's all it's about. And it's tough because I, as a fan, and I always say it as a customer too, I don't give a rat's ass how much money something costs. Now, we can sit there and value Jordan Montgomery and say, well, a player is worth this amount, that amount, this amount. That amount's crazy. And assuming there were no deferrals in this, Jordan Montgomery making $25 million from the Yankees or the Mets is really $55 million. Correct. And I think we'd all agree, yeah, that's an excessive amount of money, but it ain't our money. Right. And it makes your team better. Now, what I had always heard about the Mets, and I think the Yankees may be similar, is that the Mets had an interest in Jordan Montgomery, but on a long-term deal because they didn't want to pay an excessive amount of money and then have the guy be a free agent again. And in the Mets case, it actually makes less sense because they are, quote, less all in than the Yankees are.
Right.
So paying that kind of money for 1 year of Jordan Montgomery
right.
doesn't make a lot of sense. And I do want to clarify on this contract, it is essentially a 1 year deal. It's a 1 year deal, $25 million. And then he has a vesting option in year two that can be picked up if he makes 10 or more starts. But Montgomery has the ability to opt out. Yeah. So if Jordan Montgomery makes 10 or more starts, he can opt out and not be under contract in 2025, which I assume he's going to do, that he's going to opt out and enter free agency again, even though the free agent market next year is going to be even deeper, assuming Blake Snell's in there, Corbin Byrne, Shane Bieber. So I always knew the Mets were never going to be in on a one-year deal. The Yankees are a little bit different because of the all-in nature that you mentioned. But what we have in common, and this is the frustrating part we can hold hands in, is that we have two owners that are spending a lot of money, but they weren't willing to go this far on the amount of money they were spending.
No. I mean, that's pretty much it. And, you know, it's funny, too, because when you say, like, if the Yankees weren't over the limit, right, if they had a $200 million payroll right now.
Right.
If you said to a Yankee fan, well, Montgomery hates us because we traded him, and for whatever reason he's holding a grudge, and it's going to cost 1 year for $55 million to get him. I think most Yankee fans would go, I'm not paying Jordan Montgomery $55 million. That's crazy. Right. But for 25, and then the other 30 goes into the luxury tax, for some reason the fan doesn't seem as upset about it because it's almost like, well, shame on you for all the bad contracts and the reason why you're at. But the Yankees don't look at it differently. The Yankees look at it as it's $55 million for Jordan Montgomery. It's not worth it. And I think most Yankee fans would feel that way if it was a normal contract. But I think that it's being split where the money's going. And part of it's because, let's be honest, you know, this is my thing. We hate Brian Cashman and we hate the bad moves. This is your penance and forget you. And now you don't want to pay your penance. And that's why we're being held back. It's almost like because the money is split in two different ways and part of it is going to a luxury tax, which is based on bad decisions they've already made, the fan base expects them to spend that money.
But by the way, I want to compliment Brian Cashman and rip him in the same breath.
Let's do it.
Because what I really like about Brian Cashman, whenever he's come on the air, whether it was with me and Joe or me and Craig back in the day, is that he's very honest. Like, he's just going to tell you what's on his mind. And I think he's the most honest general manager in New York sports. And sometimes that honesty involves him cursing at media members, right? We saw that a few months ago. And I think that's great. I think it's a lot better than Leon Rose, who hides under a rock, or under, or any other GM that just gives you kind of GM speak. With that said, that's my compliment. Here's my rip. And I've learned this over the years watching how different teams run. You have to have a bedside manner sometimes when you trade a guy or you're talking about a guy. Yeah. Brian Cashman's bedside manner is terrible. Ask Derek Jeter. He'll give you his thoughts on that.
Sure.
Trading Jordan Montgomery. Forget what Yankee fans think about the trade. You and I were on the air together with Craig when this happened, and we were both like incredulous. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense.
Didn't make any sense.
But put that aside. Put our opinions on Bader for Montgomery aside. When you trade a player that's a homegrown Yankee, when you trade a player that you developed, have some class when you trade them, and don't come out within 3 days and say, well, that loser wasn't going to be in our rotation anyway.
Right.
Like, and that matters. And here's why that matters. You read it. Joel Sherman said it. I've heard it. He was pissed at the Yankees.
Yeah.
Because he's a human. Sure. Because he's an actual human being who was not only upset he was traded, but probably upset with some of the things that were said about him. And that old cliche is, don't spit in the air. You never know when it'll come back and hit you. Brian Cashman spit in the air, and I think it was a mistake. And it doesn't mean you would have gotten him. It doesn't mean he would have come crawling back. But there's no doubt, Big Mac, the Yankees were going to have to outbid any other team, including the Mets, to get this guy to come back to the Bronx, because he was genuinely pissed at the things Brian Cashman said and did upon that trade.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's fair. I think that comment was overblown. People take it as in he's not a playoff pitcher, which is not what was meant at all. It was more about that specific team needing an outfielder more than a fourth or fifth starter, which is how they viewed him. But you're right. There's no need for it. And we've seen it on a handful of times, whether it's Derek Jeter, as you mentioned, whether it's immediately giving the money out of the Judge contract on opening day, whether it's injuries a part of Stanton's game, even if it's true, even if it's honest, even if we all know it. Sometimes you're right. It's probably best not to say it. And certainly if you're going to upset players. Now, again, some of the, like the ones we just mentioned, Jeter never left. Arson Judge signed. So it's sometimes it hurts them. Sometimes it doesn't. In this case, maybe it did. But I think that's fair. There was no reason to make those comments. But
here's the lesson in all this. Here's the Met connection in all this. And I am not supporting this. I am not suggesting this. I just want this to be known, because this can be a thing if things don't go well for the Mets this season. If you are under the illusions that the Mets can trade Pete Alonso and then simply sign him at the end of the season, I'll tell you that it could happen, of course. I mean, money talks, bullshit walks. Like, yes, it could happen. But if they do it, they better be very, very careful on how they do it and how it's approached and what is said publicly, because words matter. Just put yourself in those shoes. Big Mac just got traded to a radio station in St. Louis. And whoever the hell our new PD is says, you know what? He was never going to move up and do middays or afternoon drive anyway. You'd be like, excuse me? Like, what kind of comment is that? That's essentially what Brian Cashman said. And David Stearns knows this, but be careful. Right. You got to be very, very careful, because guys are human, man, and you'll piss them off.
Can I give you another angle on this Montgomery thing connected to Pete Alonso?
Sure.
Real quick, and the shaving of your beard, which I heard, I'm sorry that, you know, you're going to have to do it for Pete.
Yes.
If I'm Pete Alonso, and I just saw the offseason that Scott Boras just had.
Yes.
I mean, you go through every single player. I mean, Snell's looking for 270. Bellinger's looking for almost 300 at one point or another, and everybody thought they would get it, especially around the Yamamoto and Ohtani signings. Everyone expected them to get these. Every single player has had to settle for a fraction of what they wanted. And now, I don't know if players look at this 1 year to the next, it's a fluke, I'm too good to worry about that kind of thing. But if I'm Pete Alonso, I am a little nervous that I just fired my agent and joined Scott Boras, who just had this. Well, this was supposed to be his year, and it turned out to be his disaster. So I would be if I've ever been willing to talk to the Mets about a contract extension and being willing to lower my numbers, now is the time. If I'm the Mets, I pounce right now and go, look what your guy just got all of his guys.
I completely agree. I had heard a few years ago when the Mets went to Pete about a contract, they lowballed him, and that if the Mets had come back with a reasonable offer, they probably would have got something done. I wonder what that number is that would get Pete to say, hey, Scott, I'm the boss. You work for me.
Yeah.
7 years, $200 million seems like a very kind of reasonable place. I think it's about $28 million a year. It's that magic two in front of the contract. If I'm Pete Alonso, I jump on it because I don't want to be sitting around till March waiting on a deal. And if I'm the Mets, I jump on it because, you know, it's a, you know, it's your homegrown guy. And I do get the sense they genuinely want to bring him back. But I don't think I'm getting that wish. I don't think that the final swerve in the Pete Alonso beard is going to be a opening day surprise of a long-term contract. Let me get the razor out.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
But speaking of Pete Alonso, I want to start with him because I have, and I want to thank all the people on social media because I put this out a couple days ago. And I asked, what's some good Met Yankee bet ideas? And a lot of people had some creative ideas and some basic ideas. So I want to start here with Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso is the best, most reliable slugger in all of Major League Baseball. But I don't know if I want to do a home run versus home run bet. I think we get creative. So one I throw out there that we can digest a little bit, Pete Alonso home runs. Kind of averages 40 a season, you know, maybe more than that. Contract year, he's healthy, you never know. Versus Anthony Volpe, stolen bases.
Yeah, I would, I still think I would take Alonso home run there.
Well, to just give full context on this, Volpe stole 24 bases last year. Yeah. So clearly not a number in Pete's league, but Anthony Volpe also only got on base 28% of the time. He wasn't exactly on base a lot, but when he was, he ran a lot. This could be a big 40, 50 stolen base season from Volpe. Does that scare you, Big Mac?
It doesn't scare me. If we were to make this bet, no, not really. I'll tell you why. The LeMahieu injury. Because if LeMahieu can't play, if LeMahieu is hurt, they're going to re-look at it again. If he has a hairline fracture or is just a shell of himself, I don't think Gleyber Torres is the long-term answer at leadoff. I think they would want to put Volpe there. So say Volpe gets that OPS that we're talking about, where it would lead to him being on base enough to put those steals together. I think they move him to the top of the lineup. And I think hitting and being on base in front of Soto and Judge will limit his stolen bases. I do not think they would want
stolen bases. Yes. Even though Juan and Aaron Judge take a crap ton of pitches and they have long at bats.
I just don't see. I understand the new era. I understand the new rules. I understand everything. But do you want to run into outs in front of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge? Do you want to take the hole now with the shift rule gone? Do you want to take the hole away from Soto with a runner on first base? I think hitting leadoff hinders his ability to steal bases. And if LeMahieu can't play or is, you know, hampered by this foot all year, and Volpe is the guy who gets on base enough, I bet you they move him up there and that would end up hindering it.
That's interesting. See, it looks like Anthony Volpe is going to start the season right now batting sixth or seventh. That's usually seems like the sweet spot. And I find that in a weird way to be kind of useless. Because if Anthony Volpe is developing into the player you think he is, and a lot of people think he is, legs are going to be a big part of his game. Yeah. And I would hate to steal bases so that Jose Trevino has an RBI opportunity. Right. I'd rather steal bases so that the guys you mentioned, Gleyber at the top, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto,
bat him ninth. Yeah.
I would definitely bat him ninth. And by the way, one positive to keep in mind is I told you his stolen base numbers from last year in the major leagues. And a part of why that number was so low is he only had 209 and he only got on base 28% of the time. So, you know, how many times was he really on base? The previous year in the minor leagues between AA and AAA, Anthony Volpe at 249. He had a 340 on-base percentage. I think those are numbers that you would probably say, hey, if he could get to that at the major league level, I'd be pretty happy. Hit me 240, get on base 34% of the time, we're in business. Anthony Volpe stole 50 bases in the minor leagues. Yeah. 50.
No, I know. He can steal bases. There's no doubt about it. And if they keep him at somewhere between 7, 8, 9, I think he gets it, to be honest with you. But the leadoff thing – I understand your point. You want to get in scoring position for those guys, but first base is scoring position for those guys. I would think it would limit his running.
That is a bad idea for everybody out there. But Big Mac has said no, thank you. He said no, gracias.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't feel very confident on the Yankee side of that. No.
Well, here's the way it works. We have a lot of ideas. Either you say yes, I definitely want to do it. B, no effing way, throw it away. Or C, put it into that maybe pile.
All right, that's a C for me. Put it in the maybe pile.
We're going to put this one in the maybe pile, okay?
Yeah, I'm open to it, yeah.
All right. I'll give you another idea, and this one you would get a head start on. So this is one that you would come out of the gate very early on.
Okay.
It's a very simple bet. It's a games played bet. Simply, who's going to get out there more?
Right.
Aaron Judge. Who's a major question to stay healthy versus JD Martinez, who we already know will not play the first, let's say, week and a half of the season. So already taken away 7 or 8 games. Your thoughts?
Oh, I'll do that one.
Well, I didn't I'll say I would one. Do that one. I was just throwing
well, I was gonna
it
say, yeah, I think I think Judge is going to play. And I think. Especially with they might be on a rotation with DH unless Stanton really is just healthy and mashing. I think there'll be more days for him at DH. They also listening to everything Boone. I was just driving in listening to Boone's interview with Talking Yanks. I think they have zero issue with him playing center field. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, he's playing a lot of center field. We have to give him extra days. This would be a strictly injured. If he's injured, fine, and it does happen, but. If he's healthy, I think he plays 155, 160 games. I think they're on full on board for that. And I think they would use the DH a lot more especially if it's a rotating thing, if Stanton's what he's typically been, because I think they're more, and you were the first one, I give you credit a lot on the show, you were the first person to bring up the idea of Stanton being a platoon player Boone.
Yes.
And I'll never forget it. I was watching you guys, and Boone, I would have bet anything, was going to give you a wry smile and go, he's Giancarlo Stanton, bro. No, we're not thinking about platooning him. He's Giancarlo. And he said, we're not there yet. And I was blown away by the answer. I honestly was. I was like, they're considering platooning Giancarlo Stanton.
Damn right. Like, this isn't 2019 anymore, man.
I think they are. So it's not only does Stanton have to be healthy, Stanton has to be hitting, or he might not play every day. So I could see Judge getting a lot of DH days, which should help him stay healthy. So I feel good about Judge this year. I think long term, I'm nervous about him. But this year, when they know they got to win with Juan Soto and Judge is aching for, I think he'll play through some stuff. I'm expecting Judge to play a lot of games this year.
So just to give you a historical comparison on games played, JD versus Aaron Judge. Right now, their age difference is about 4 years, 3.5 years. Aaron Judge is about to turn 32. JD is 36. He'll be 37 in the midst of the summer. So I guess it's a 4.5 year age difference. I'm trying to remember. 4.5 year age difference, almost 5 years. If you go back to 2017, Aaron's first full year is in the majors. He played 155 games. JD played 119. So that's one for Aaron Judge. I want you to keep track of this so we can find out who won. For Aaron Judge. In 2018, Aaron Judge played 112 games. JD played 150 games. So that's one for JD. It's now tied 1-1.
Right.
In 2019, Aaron Judge played 102 games. JD played 146 games.
Two
for JD. Mm-hmm. In 2020, Aaron Judge played 28 games. JD played 54 games. That's another for JD. That makes it 3-1, JD Martinez.
It's a tough one.
In 2000, you know what, though? Here's why I'm including that one, because normally I wouldn't. Judge was going to miss like 80% of that season.
Correct.
He was actually benefiting from the fact that it was only half a season.
Well, not 80%. He would admit, because he started the year. He started 2020. He got hurt. The games he missed weren't at the beginning recovering from that rib injury. He started the year and got banged up.
But when was he going to come back if the season was normal? June? I don't know. It was going to be considerable.
Well, it was like, when did the season start? July,
late July.
All right, so that's half the season, not 80%.
All right, well, I was exaggerating. What do you want from me?
And I'm pointing it out.
Bottom line is JD was going to win that. If you don't want to include that, fine. It's still too much.
I'm just saying it's who knows what happens. JD might have gotten hurt the rest of
the
season.
You know what?
No. You're right. 3-1.
All right, 3-1. 2021, we have a tie. They both played 148 games.
Wow. JD's played a lot of games.
2022, here's a victory for Aaron. Aaron played .157. JD played 139. Good year for JD, but obviously Aaron Judge beat him. And then last year, it was actually closer than you think. Aaron Judge played 106 games, but JD played 113.
Yeah.
So JD gets the victory, but it was close. So I have the edge. And so even though I'm giving you the first week and a half of the season,
I think I would
take that. So do you want to put that in the maybe side, or are you ready to say, oh, hell yeah?
I mean, we can put it on the maybe side for now, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. Plus, when you have to bring up Vientos to see what he is, that's going to take away some time from JD. So,
well, what is that happening? Vientos isn't even starting.
Well, I mean, you know, it's very important to find out what Vientos is. So,
don't give me this plan argument again. Right? Save that for the midday show. I'm not doing that with you right now.
I know.
I
would do that one. Yeah, good.
All right. Here's another bad idea. The only problem with JD versus judging games played is it's boring. It's literally rooting for a guy to just go out and play baseball. Perform.
Right.
This one, and we could figure out the stat we would use. I always find these two guys to be really similar in terms of versatility, similar in terms of, boy, when they're hitting, they're really machines. Mm-hmm. Jeff McNeil and DJ LeMahieu. They have a lot of those similarities.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I remember a few years ago, one of the bets I had with Ernie on it was multi-hit games, which was kind of a fun bet.
Yeah.
I think in this case, especially with DJ starting the year on the IL, and Jeff McNeil, by the way, has his own injury history.
Yeah.
This could be a strict batting average battle. Would you accept that, even knowing McNeil won the batting title a year ago?
Yes.
2 years ago.
Yes.
You have that much confidence?
I would accept that. I just, DJ showed it in the second half. I mean, I'm concerned about if it's a nagging foot injury. That's the only issue. I mean, if he's back and healthy, I would have to table it for now, because if they find out it's a hairline fracture in a week, I might have a different feeling about it. But and McNeil does kind of have a good year, bad year thing kind of going on. He's due for a good one. I guess I would table that one. I don't feel that good about that one. Now that
there would need to be a at-bat plate appearance minimum.
Right, minimum.
You are right, you know, especially with batting average, you know.
Yeah.
DJ could play 25 games, hit 350. I ain't giving you victory on that, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's, unfortunately, with LeMahieu, I don't know how we'd do any bets with him right now.
By the way, one thing that's interesting, we talk about their similarities, and you mentioned something that I've said a lot on the air. I'm high on DJ LeMahieu because of his second half. He played a lot better in the second half of the season than maybe people realize. Another guy who did the exact same thing is Jeff McNeil. Yeah. Jeff McNeil in the first half of the year hit 250. In the second half of the year, he hit 291, which is closer to the Jeff McNeil we know. DJ LeMahieu hit 273 in the second half, which was a lot better than the first half. So they both even had that similarity of getting it going in the second half of the season. They really are. It's funny to think about. They're so similar, especially when you think about their timetables of when they came here. McNeil got called up, you know, late in the 2018 season.
Right.
And then 2019, he's here.
Yeah.
DJ LeMahieu came over for the 2019 season, if memory serves correct.
Yes. Right? 19 and 20 were his two big years. Man.
Yeah. So 19 was his first year here. That was his Jeff first, McNeil's first full year here. Yeah. So their time frame in terms of being around have been very, very similar. That's why I like to connect them with vets. So if we do a McNeil LeMahieu bet, you would go batting average. Yeah. There's no other category you want to compare them on?
No, not really. Because again, I don't know. I don't trust the games played. I do like the multi-hit thing, because that's kind of both of there. But no, I don't know what else to do but batting average. Yeah.
Fair enough. Now here are two guys I want to connect. The question is how we connect them. Francisco Alvarez and Anthony Volpe. Very similar. Okay. Both had promising at times rookie seasons. We are both expecting big jumps from our second year players. They're also very different. How would you want to connect Alvarez and Volpe?
Yeah. They are very different, and he's a catcher. So I don't know. Again, we don't care about games played. We said that was kind of boring. Is there any way to do some sort of progress on a certain stat versus the other one?
I mean, they both hit for very low batting averages last year, and I think the hope is that both Volpe and Alvarez's averages could go up. We could do home runs versus stolen bases. Could be very similar, because Francisco is definitely a slugger. The hope is he can hit 30 home runs. I actually don't feel great about that, because I definitely think Volpe is going to steal 40 bases this year, and that puts me in a bind, because that's a tough ask to ask a catcher to hit 40 home runs.
Right. That is a tough ask.
Let me think about doubles.
OPS, doubles.
OPS isn't terrible. You know, Volpe is more of an on-base guy. Francisco's more of a slugger. Their averages could turn out to be very, very similar. So OPS may be the way to go. Or fantasy ranking, since we're both fantasy players in the same league, even though you forgot who's in our league.
Yes, that's true. I just didn't care enough to remember.
Wow. So, you're in a very important fantasy baseball league, and you forgot who's in the league.
Yeah, I'll be totally honest with you. Like, you know, I'm involved in the draft, and then me and Monzo talk, but Monzo's the one who executes all the moves that you get in touch with any of you. So I forget. Like, I have to think, that one's in the league. I'm more focused just on my team. I'm heading the ground, focused on my team. I hear things from Monzo, we communicate, but I very rarely am in, like, I don't text.
Basically,
like, if Hoff wants to offer us a trade, he contacts Monzo.
What Big Mac is trying to say is that the arrangement is that Brian Monzo, former producer of current producer of Mike Francesa, I think he does his podcast.
Yes.
Brian Monzo is Brian Cashman, and Big Mac is a figurehead like Aaron Boone. Is that a fair comparison between the two?
I think that the dynamic between the two is fair. The wordage you use to describe them isn't. But yes, he's Brian Cashman, and I'm Aaron Boone. I'm the boots on the ground telling it how it is. And then he's up there executing the plan.
I do like OPS for Alvarez and McNeil. We'll put that to the side and see if
Alvarez and Volpe. Volpe, not McNeil. I feel good about that. He got 20 home runs last year. I could easily see Volpe hitting 25, 27 home runs himself. So I would – that's – you could lock that in. I would take that risk. I think Alvarez is going to be a stud, but he is a catcher. He doesn't – you know, I think the on-base will probably go to Volpe, and especially if they move him to the top, getting a lot of fastballs in front of those two. So that's one I would definitely – if you're willing, I'm in. Alvarez, Volpe, OPS.
Just to compare their rookie numbers, and it's sort of crazy sometimes when you get similarities. Are you ready for this? You ready to have your mind blown?
Yeah.
Anthony Volpe hit 209 as a rookie. Francisco Alvarez hit 209 as a rookie. Okay. Anthony Volpe's on base percentage, 283. Francisco Alvarez, 284.
Wow.
Now, where Alvarez hasn't beat is in slugging. He slugged 437, Volpe 383. So it was a 721 OPS for Francisco, 666 for Volpe. But pretty damn – I mean, it's amazing how close their numbers were.
Yeah.
Those are identical, the average in OPS.
Yeah, that is bizarre. But I'd be willing to do that deal.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's a fair one. Here's another one to throw at you, and that is who will be called up first? A called up first bet between your guy, I'm sure most Yankee fans guys, Spencer Jones, and my guy, Jet Williams.
Yeah.
My top prospect, your top prospect, both are certainly not locks to be called up this season. Would you feel comfortable with a Spencer? Boy, this feels like it's in my household. Spence versus Jet.
That's funny.
I call that the my son's battle if we accept this
That's funny. And I have Andrew Thomas as the left tackle of the New York Giants, both my names. My no, I do not feel comfortable at all. I don't think there's any chance. I don't think there is any chance Spencer hits the major leagues this year. None. They have an abundance. Like, it's funny. It's the complete opposite of last year. Last year, they had no outfielders. They're playing infielders in the outfield. This year, they got Oswaldo Cabrera forced to be the starting third baseman, backup shortstop, possibly backup first baseman right now. And they don't have a single another infielder. They've got, you know, Allen. They got Greg Allen in the outfield. They got a bunch of different outfield guys ready. You know, obviously, Grisham is another outfielder. Like, I don't think Spencer Jones has a chance to hit the major league roster. Plus, I think, you know, not to get into the plan, I was half joking before, but like, I think the Mets could see themselves, if season doesn't go well, in a mode more like that where the Yankees would, the Yankees are going to be in win till our last breath. Like, there's going to be nothing where they go, okay, look, we're 10 games out, it's over. Like, nothing. They are going to go full out trying to play till they're eliminated, where I could see the Mets transitioning if things don't go well and say, hey, let's call up this guy. Let's give, you know, I don't think the Yankees would be there.
Yeah, I think that the Mets could get there without saying we're looking at the future. I think they could get there based on the way the team is built. Like, right now, their center fielder is a guy that's a fourth outfielder. Their center fielder is a guy that has a tough time staying healthy. So if Harrison Bader is A, hurt, or B, just very, very average, and you've got a kid tearing it up at the minors and Jet is taking to center field, I don't think it's necessarily, hey, we have to see what he is. I think he may force his way up. Like, we've seen this with teams before where the young player could just force their way up. I mean, the Atlanta Braves, I give them a lot of credit. They've done this a lot with guys. Look at Michael Harris making the double-A jump from 2 years ago. So I do think I have the distinct edge on that, not just because, yes, you're right, in theory, the Mets could be out of it, but the Mets are set up to have their younger play. And that's where, with all due respect, you were mistaken. The Met plan wasn't, we need to see Mark Vientos play 500 times. Even though I still would give him that opportunity, the plan was more, hey, Drew Gilbert needs that chance once he's ready. Jet Williams, same thing. Luis Angel Acuna. And I think the hope is if Jet Williams or Drew Gilbert, we'll use Jet just for the sake of this discussion, is destroying AAA pitching and is clearly ready, the Mets will find a way for him to play. And they didn't overcomplicate it by putting guys that you could not put to the bench. Harrison Bader's a fourth outfielder. If Drew Gilbert is tearing up AAA, it ain't that complicated, Harry. You're going to the bench. You know what I mean?
I get you. This I get you. But the Yankees just have outfielders too. Jason Dominguez is coming back. They got Verdugo. They got too many as it is right now. I wouldn't like that one.
I would be usually very afraid to involve Gerrit Cole in any kind of Mets Yankees bet, but since he's going to miss at least a month or two and maybe more. we could involve him. And the only way that we can fairly involve him is use my injured guy. Would you be willing to have the balls to do a Kodai Senga versus Gerrit Cole bet, whether it's starts, wins, or innings pitched?
All of the above, no doubt.
Really? Because Senga's clearly ahead. He's expected to start a throwing program like soon, and Gerrit Cole is not. So Kodai is getting a head start. You'd still be willing to do that.
Yeah, I would. One, you got, I fully expect Cole to be back and good. I do. Whenever it happens, Kodai Senga now, again, he doesn't pitch every fifth day. Now, over the course of the season, I don't know how many starts that would be. I don't know if it equals the head start. That's fair. But I just think, I think Cole's the best pitcher in baseball. So the numbers, I don't see why I would worry at all. So now I'm talking just starts. And even starts, I just think when Cole is back, he's back. So, and I could see Senga getting a skip here. I could see Kodai Senga obviously not pitching every fifth day. I could see a bunch of scenarios where they don't necessarily throw him out there as much as Cole once he gets back. So, yeah, I would be willing to. Definitely the numbers, 100% lock me in. I do have some trepidation with the starts, but I would still feel okay with that.
That'd be the one I'd feel most comfortable with, starts. Yeah. Because, obviously, Gerrit Cole's the best pitcher in baseball, or at least he has been until this recent injury. Right. So I would say, especially knowing I got a head start, because Kodai, at least as of right now, is recording.
You know what the easiest way to do to honestly make it fair if we're going to do starts? Yeah. You want to double it up and do Senga, Severino, Cole, Rodon?
I definitely wanted to get Luis Severino involved. My question was how? Because I don't want to overreact to spring training. I'm not a reactor to spring training, but I thought that Severino and
he's having a good spring.
It was more than that. So before spring training started, we did a Rico, and you can go back in the archives to take a listen to anybody out there where I asked my spring training questions, the things I want answered before we get to the start of the year. And my thing about Luis Severino was, more than anyone else, I need him to pitch reasonably well and get through it. Because as you know, Luis Severino doesn't get through spring trainings. He doesn't. Like, he's rarely had a complete full spring training. And then I need him to not get bombed, because last year, dude, we all saw it. We were all watching it. Luis Severino became unpitchable.
No.
And I think you said it a few times. I certainly said it. The Yankees can't continue to start him if they're serious about winning.
That's how bad he was. Yeah. He was 6-7 runs, two innings. That was his line. 2 innings, 7 runs on a regular, almost every time out there. It was embarrassing.
That's why to me it was getting through spring training alive and being, he pitched well, but it wasn't even, I didn't need him to pitch well. I needed him to not get destroyed. And I would say, okay, I feel good that maybe he can be half the guy he was 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. I mean, he's had a good spring. I think, the only thing that gets to me sometimes with the talk about him is, the tipping of the pitches. I don't know why this bothers me. It's probably my Yankee shillness that just doesn't allow. Like, the idea, he was tipping his pitches. Like, that's an easy fix. Like, the Yankees went half a season with him being awful. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they were aware that he was doing something with tipping of the pitches. Sometimes it's not that easy. Like, they went through a half a season oblivious to it, or for whatever reason they couldn't fix it, and he continues to do things in the heat of the moment that he had trouble figuring out how to stop doing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, now he's gone somewhere else, whether it be the Mets happen to be the team, but wherever it is, like, he was tipping pitches. They'll fix it. Like, the Yankees just, I don't know what it is. Like, I mean, like, the whole half season, I'm sure they took a look at what he was tipping of the pitches. Like, I don't think it's that simple a fix. Like, you just say, he was tipping pitches, we'll fix it.
Well, if Luis Severino has a really good season, and I think that Severino and the Yankees needed to break up, was one of those things we've had that with the Mets. Like, Travis d'Arnaud is a great example. I know he kills the Mets now. It was over. Like, let's not recreate history. The Mets needed to move on from d'Arnaud. D'Arnaud needed to move on from the Mets. But if Severino has a really good season, what are you going to say? Like, are you going to say, maybe it was something simple, or is it, he was just bound to stay healthy? It took 5 years.
I would lean more towards that. I would lean more towards this. He just had a good season. I don't think it would necessarily be like, because the fastball was up. You watch some of those games, like, he hung pitches at the worst freaking time. Like, it wasn't just Like, because people go, well, he was throwing 98 miles an hour, so it must have been tipping pitches. Yeah, he still had his good fastball, but his breaking stuff was completely just, you know, he could not be consistent with his breaking stuff at all. He hung terrible pitches.
Yeah.
He threw fastballs down the middle 0-2. Like, it wasn't just like, as people look at the 98 mile an hour fastball and say, well, I mean, he had his good stuff, so I don't know what the hell was going on. No, it was, he didn't have his good stuff.
Yeah.
So if he pitches well this year, I would lean towards more. He just figured out a way to be more consistent with his fastball, and the Mets did a good job working with him.
Sometimes teams find things in players, and they're able to control it and improve them. The Yankees have done a really good job of that over the years as well. I mean, it's not as if the Yankees only get failed reports on this. Yeah, there's been some starting pitchers like Jordan Montgomery, Nate Eovaldi. They go other. Sonny Gray is the prime example.
Yeah.
But they've also had guys that came to them and they've gotten the most out of them for periods of time, whether it was Mike Tauchman a few years ago or Gio Urshela or whatever
Luke Voit. Yeah, I mean, you know, Clay Holmes, I know he's blown some games and Yankee fans are iffy on him. Look at Clay Holmes' numbers from what he was, what he is now, and what he was in Pittsburgh. Look at Wandy Peralta. Like, there's a bunch of pitchers and players who come in and they figure it out. And they're better with the Yankees than they were with someone else, and then vice versa. You get times where it clicks with another organization. Jordan Montgomery, clearly the most recent example of it.
I wasn't excited about Zach Short making the Mets because I wanted Mark Vientos to get that DH opportunity for 2 weeks. But Zach Short had a good spring training. He made the team. And David Stearns was asked specifically, what do you see in Zach Short? And besides the obvious, which is, hey, he's a good defensive player. He gives us roster versatility. He said something. We're going to find out if he's right about it. At least in spring training, he's been right. He said, we saw something in his swing, and we think we can kind of change it. Where the guy who's a 203 career hitter at the major league level, we think he's better than that. And look, if that's the case, and Zach Short, and no one's suggesting he'd be a star, but he's a good bat. He's a 250 average guy.
Yeah.
Hey, it happens in baseball. But so do you want to take Senga and Sevy versus Cole and Rodon in combined starts? Is that like a kind of a tag team match, like night one of WrestleMania?
Well, that's what I thought, because if we were, you know, if you were, you know, I would do just Cole. I would. But if we wanted to be fair about it, because Senga's getting the head start, you take the two guys that are currently injured and then two guys who have history of injuries.
Yes. I like that.
Double team it.
I like that one. I wrote that down. You're in. That's our first official bet, and we'll get through the others that we kind of curb to the side. All right. This is an idea from social media. I don't know how we're going to do this. We'll have to go look at some advanced metrics. Okay. Which player will have more pitches per at bat? Brandon Nimmo versus Aaron Judge.
Ooh, it's an interesting bet.
You like that one, right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like it. It's odd. It's off the beaten path. It would be fun. I think you'll look up if they're two of the guys you look up, it's 3-2 every single stinking at bat.
Every time. Yep.
I mean, that would be a fun one. I don't have the metrics would be. You get me a bet. I got my money or whatever we're betting on. I'm not growing a beard. I wish I could. I can't. Whatever we're betting here on these bets, if I can get, you know, chips on the table with Aaron Judge, I'll take my chances.
By the way, what we're betting here, and I hope this is a good life lesson for everybody, is we're betting pride. Okay. There doesn't always have to be something on the line.
It does not. That doesn't have to be. Pride.
Or I got a good one. I got a good one. Uh-huh. If I win, because then that benefits you. Crap. I was going to say we switch jobs for the day. I'll do the overnight. You do the afternoon show. But like that's, by the way, people don't realize this. Big Mac is the only one of the few. That's actually a win for me. I love the overnights.
I know you do. I know you do. It would be a fun night for you. Everyone would want to. Yeah. You could do 5 hours like tonight all by yourself.
I'm in. Let's go. All right. More at-bats this season. Starling Marte versus Giancarlo Stanton. Just at-bats, or plate appearances, because obviously we don't want walks to skew that. Who will get to the plate more times this season? Starling Marte versus Giancarlo Stanton.
It's tough for me to accept that one. It's tough. How could I? Even with only pride on the line, and I love Giancarlo, and I'm rooting for him like you would not believe. He's my guy. I want him to have a great year. But how could you have faith in that guy to stay healthy right now? And then, honestly, like I said, with your interview and other times here, I could see them, if he struggles, platooning him. I absolutely could. I could see him not getting at-bats against right-handed pitching. That's a tough one for me. That's an absolutely hell no. I can't do anything with at-bats or games with Giancarlo. I just can't.
This one, I'm probably afraid to make this bet because I think the Yankees are better than what they were last year. And that means Anthony Rizzo's healthy, added Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo. Team home runs, because shockingly, the Yankees and Mets last year were almost tied. The Yankees had 219 home runs. The Mets had 215 home runs. Yeah. So it was really, really close. I'll tell you one bet I'm thinking of making, even though I'm the underdog, because I won't accept the home run bet. I threw it out there, but I wouldn't have the guts. I think I'd have more of the guts on runs scored. You know, last year, the New York Mets had a bad offensive year. They scored four and a half runs a game. The Yankees were far worse. Now, the Yankees added a lot more during this offseason. Now, I think the Mets additions, obviously J.D. Martinez, but also were just guys having better seasons, Starling Marte and Jeff McNeil specifically. Right. I assume you'd be very confident to take a Mets versus Yankees runs scored bet.
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Your confidence kind of freaks me out, though.
I would be very confident to do that. I actually had a weird one with the run scored. I didn't know it had to be player for player. I thought run scored versus Alonso OPS. So that's how good I'm feeling about Yankees run scored.
Run scored versus Alonso OPS?
Yep.
I got what you're saying. Okay.
The Yankee scored 673 runs last year.
Right.
So Alonso, what, he's a lock for an 820 OPS?
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. So just to give people perspective on this, the team with the most runs scored last year were the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. They scored 5.8 runs per game, but their total was 947. A 947 OPS, obviously very high for Pete, but doable in a big year. So even if the Yankees have this incredible offense, it's very, very doable. Pete usually averages in the mid-eights, and that would probably, based on last year's number, need the Yankees to have to be – you know what? I accept. I've already thought enough, like, I think I would sign up for that because I expect Pete to have a big year. I do think the Yankees are going to have a really good offense, so I think it's a close bet. So I accept that
one. There you go. Yankees OPS versus Alonso OPS versus Yankees run scored.
Yankees runs Alonso OPS. I like that. All right. So we have three official bets as of right now that I've written down. And, of course, you at home can play along with your friends. Yankees runs versus Alonso OPS. Kodai and Seve versus Cole and Rodon in starts. Nimmo versus Judge in pitches per at bat.
That's a good one. That's when you sit around and discuss with your friends for hours right there. That's just the bushel of fun.
So we've got three bets. Well, let's find two more to make it a best of five. Just to re-go. But do you have any more, by the way, before we go through this?
I didn't like – we already used Alvarez. I had one I didn't love. And then I had – I had Stanton home runs versus Severino starts. But
Stanton home runs versus – nah, I can't. You know why I can't do that? Yeah. I think Stanton, even as a platoon player, will hit – could hit 30 home runs. I mean, because first of all, he's not going to be a platoon player for the first few months of the season. Even when he struggles, he's a masher and he hits a lot of home runs. And asking anybody in Major League Baseball to make 30 starts is tough. Forget about you, Severino.
Yeah.
Anybody doing that is tough. Oh, would you want to do Edwin Diaz saves versus Clay home saves? Clay is clearly the closer. The Yankees should have a better team. Yeah. I would do it. I've got the better closer. You have the better team.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Not say, I mean, ERA and all that good stuff. I probably wouldn't do it, but just strictly saves. He is the guy the Yankees like to mess around. He's not the guy the way Diaz is the guy, but I'd be open to it.
Let me put a caveat on that.
He's coming off the injury.
There is one caveat that I would want to put in there, and this benefits you too. This is not, you know, benefiting just one or the other. Yeah. We now live in a world in which, and we saw Buck do this a lot, and I loved it. I think it was actually the best attribute of Buck Showalter as manager of the Mets. And I don't know if Carlos Mendoza is going to do this because we've never seen him manage. Mm-hmm. He was very aggressive in using Diaz in the eighth inning and then going to someone else to close the game out.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I do not know if Mendy is going to do that. I hope he does because I think there are certain scenarios that lead you to using your better pitcher in the, forget eighth inning, I would do it sometimes in the seventh inning. I think it's stupid sometimes how we wait and only use a closer in the ninth. So I would amend it to saves plus holds. So on those rare nights where even Clay Holmes, because Boone's done this before too, where he uses him in the eighth inning just based on the matchups. So I would definitely amend it to saves and holds, so you're not screwed out of that eighth inning that Clay Holmes or Edwin Diaz comes in a pitch. You're not enthralled with it. That's fine. We'll have to do it.
Well, I'm just saying you got to make addendum. It's Diaz versus Holmes and saves, and you're trying to figure out addendums because your guy sometimes pitches in the 7-3.
Your guy too.
The best closer. Too. You got the best closer in baseball. I got to figure out how to make it fair for Clay Holmes. But okay, that's okay.
You have the better team. That's what makes it fair.
That is true. But here's the that's true.
I mean, the Mets are expected. The Mets over under is 81.5. The Yankee over under is 93.5. Which means
I just saw the report from baseball reference. They're a 71-win team. What are you talking about?
I didn't understand that one. By the way,
lucky to win 65 games this year.
I think that was a clerical error. There's no way. For anyone who didn't see it, Baseball Reference has their projections, and they projected the Yankees to basically suck, which I...
But one of the three worst teams in the American League.
Yeah, that's a tough one to buy. I mean, you're going to need like a rash of injuries. Everybody gets COVID, and then maybe you'll...
We don't have to get into it because this is a Rico Bronya podcast. Judge missed damn near the entire season. After May, Rizzo was the worst player in baseball. Severino couldn't make a start without giving 7 runs. Rodon barely pitched and was awful. I mean, the list goes on and on. Nestor Cortez barely pitched. When he pitched, he was awful. Like, everything went wrong. They had the worst offense they've had in forever. It was the bottom third in the league. The worst offense ever. Everything went wrong. They won 82 games. They get Juan Soto, and they're going to win less than that?
Well, I do want to be fair about one thing. The Yankees had best bullpen in Major League Baseball last year. No guarantee that happens again. And like you said, Gerrit Cole won the American League Cy Young. So
I understand, but you're talking about even if it's 10 starts, like how much difference does one starting pitcher make in the regular season?
I'm not arguing. I think the Yankees are going to win the AL East. We did our MLB predictions podcast, and you could go into the archives on that. We posted it on Monday. I forget the days. I think the Yankees are going to win 99 games. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just merely saying that sometimes, and I do this too with the Mets, where this went wrong, this went wrong, this went wrong. It can't go that wrong again. We leave out the things that went really right that may not necessarily go right again. All right, so do you want to do Alvarez, Volpe, OPS? You're good with that?
Yes.
Right. Alvarez, Volpe, OPS.
Yeah.
Jeff McNeil, DJ LeMahieu, batting average. You're hesitating on that one.
We wanted 5, right? So we got OPS. Give me the other ones before I give you that one.
That one and also JD versus Aaron Judge in games played. Actually, we should do that one. That one was kind of good. JD versus Aaron Judge.
I'll do that one. Yeah, I'll do that one.
All right. So that leaves us at 5. It's Yankees runs versus Alonzo OPS, Kode and Seve starts versus Cole and Rodon, Nimmo versus Judge and pitches per at bat, Alvarez versus Volpe and OPS, JD versus Judge in games played.
All right.
Let the games begin. Now, real quick.
Let's go, as we get the season underway. Finally.
I was kind enough to predict the Yankees. Not kind enough. It's honestly how I think. I think the Yankees are going to win the AL East. I think the Orioles take a step back. I think they win 99 games. I was at 103 games a few days ago, but these injuries are starting to scare me. Your opinion on the Mets. Give me a win total and where they finish in 2024.
The Mets will win 85 games and be the final wild card team.
How about that?
There you go.
I feel like, you know what's kind of pissing me off? Now you're a part of it.
Okay.
I feel like when I said a month or two ago, you know what? I think people are being too negative about the Mets. I feel good about this team. I think they can finish in the mid-80s. I think they can be a playoff team. I felt like I was on an island by myself. And now that we've gotten to the precipice of opening day, I got Big Mac saying 85 wins playoff spot. I haven't heard him say it, but I saw a graphic from SNY that Sal Acata, who thought the Mets sucked all offseason, has him making the playoffs. And I'm like, wait a second. I thought I was the only one. Now all you guys, you Johnny-come-latelys, are jumping aboard saying, they're a playoff team. So I was right all along, apparently.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I've been killing the Mets front office for not treating this season like it mattered. That's how I felt, but I still feel like if the offense is healthy, I mean, I think that the middle of your order, I think Alvarez could be a stud. I think if Marte's healthy, I think the offense should be far better than it was last year. I think Alonso's going to have a big year. We know what Lindor is. Like, I think McNeil, as I said, there's up-down kind of element to his game. This year, I think he's poised to hit 290 to 310 at least. Like, I like the offense, and I got to be honest, like, it's spring training. I have no idea. I think McGill pitches very well to start years typically, right? The last couple of years, he's gotten out of the gate pretty good. You'll get Sanga back. Severino looks phenomenal. Even Minaya has been okay. Like, I think the rotation will be just good enough to get you through. I like the back end of the bullpen. That's really the only place that they made significant moves to bolster the team for this year. And now J.D. Martinez gives you another legitimate bat in the middle of that lineup. The guy played, I know we said only 100-plus games last year. He had 30 and 100.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think the team, you know, should be okay. I don't love it. I think they're clearly the third best team in the division, but, you know, by a landslide. But I just have a feeling they're going to have a decent season, especially when we've been killing them all offseason. Like, everything you mentioned makes me think. Like, it's going to end up being a talking point, like you just said. We're killing this team. Yeah. Here they are, you know, going into game three of the wild card with the better pitcher on the mound, supposing, you know, we're one game away from moving on to the NLDS. Like, I totally see that conversation
happening. All I know is that in my lifetime, and I'm a 40-year-old man, I have seen the New York Mets make the playoffs 6 times, okay? Right. You've seen the Yankees make the playoffs. I mean, I could count it out loud, but it's a very big number.
It's more than six.
Yeah, it's a lot more than six.
So a lot more than six.
If the end result is the New York Mets in the playoffs for just the 7th time in my lifetime, I don't give a crap if it's 81 wins, 85 wins, 79 wins. I don't give a shit. If the Mets are in the postseason for just the 7th time in my lifetime, that is an event. As the great Gorilla Monsoon would say, that's a happening. So let us all hope that that's the case. You can check out Big Mac in the overnight on WFAN. Sometimes it's on midnight. Sometimes it's at 2 a.m. Really check your local listings and you will hear him talking about the New York Yankees. And other things, of course. It's not just that.
And strictly Yankees. Strictly Yankees. That's all we do. As G and I, the 4 o'clock hour is the Yankee hot stove hour. So you can definitely catch me talking Yankees at 4 a.m. for Giannotti in the car. That's 100% accurate. So.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you.
No, thank you. Well, anyone want to comment? Of course, you can email the pod to RicoB@gmail.com. Download, subscribe. We've got more Ricos every day until opening day. Thank you for listening to Rico B.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.